Good morning. It's Mike Mullins. I'm your host for the Socially Responsible Investing Show here on AM 950. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to having a chance to talk to folks today. The call-in number is 952-946-6205. And why would you call? Well, this show is about investing. Its show is for investors, big or small, new or experienced, veterans or rookies. Investing is a very important part of how we prepare for big expenses that come up that we're saving for. And if you have enough time, you can invest for it and hope to make more money as you're getting towards your goal. A lot of people use investing in their 401ks and 403bs, IRAs, those type of tax-protected investment vehicles that allow you to save money for your retirement, that time in the future when you can't work any longer, you don't want to work any longer, you get tired, maybe you get old. But this is a show about investing as you think about how you're going to do these things. Today's show is about reviewing a most recent show topics over the last 4 weeks. We'll go through those. We'll talk about the interviews. We'll talk about the goals of investing. I think we'll do some basics today. We're going to talk about what investing is. What's the down and dirty part here? What's a stock? What's a bond? What are the different ways that people can invest in these things? And the third area is I will provide investment recommendations. As you may know, there are some regulations by FINRA, which is the primary government regulatory body that governs broker-dealers, which is companies like my company, RBC Wealth Management, companies like Merrill Lynch, companies like UBS. These are broker-dealers by definition. And we have some rules that we have to follow. And one of the rules is that I cannot actually say the name of a particular mutual fund or a particular stock that I recommend because I don't know who's listening. And I wouldn't want you, the listener, to hear me say, hey, this is a great investment, blah, 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 mutual fund, without knowing if it's a good investment for you. So I need to be able to have actually a conversation with you as an investor and be able to help you decide which of these areas we talk about is the most suitable, if any, for you to invest in. So hopefully you'll give me a call at 952-946-6205 and we'll have a chance to answer some questions on the air. There is no guest interview today. I would like to take the time to really do some reviews here. And let's just get started. The shows that we've had the last 4 weeks started in middle April, and the show was called Design Your Future. It was about investment planning. In fact, we have a program at RBC Wealth Management, my employer, called Your Future by Design, and the manager of that program, Dean Deitz, was our interview that day. And what we talked about was how best to approach you being able to help yourself identify for you and your family what the most important aspects of the future are, and we'll review those in a few minutes. The second show that we did was, April 24th, I believe, was Clean Tech Basics, the Smart Electric Grid. We talked about how we have an aging infrastructure for electricity here, but in building new power plants is an extremely expensive, extremely fairly long-term process. Forget about nuclear building. That's even longer. I'm just talking about just regular electric generation power plants that might be powered by, let's say, coal. They take a while to build. Meanwhile, we lose $1.5 billion a year, $1.5 billion a year in lost electrical generation that doesn't reach its destination, which is a home or a business, due to leaky lines, transformers that break down. If we have outages, those are extremely expensive. It costs $1.5 billion to not be running this thing as well as it could be run. We'll talk about the smart electric grid. The third was why sustainable companies can save the planet. I think I called that show Corporate America, Don't Make a Mess, Don't Leave a Mess. And now, several weeks into the BP oil spill situation in the Gulf of Mexico, I'm thinking, wow, I should have talked more about BP that day. But the idea here is that companies that are working to manage their materials use, their resources use, that are working to manage how they impact their environment where they live and work is a very important aspect of trying to decide what kind of companies can you invest in that won't blow up on you? Which ones are least likely to cause you the kind of surprises that we get every great once in a while? Sometimes it's not every great once in a while, every regular once in a while from some company. And usually you look back at the company and you find that something that you assumed was working a certain way wasn't, or something that was being done a certain way wasn't. I think that we all assumed with the oil spill that these oil rig folks, by now they've got it all worked out. There's 30,000 oil rigs in the Gulf, I hear. That's a fairly large number, and there have been very few problems. And you'd have to see that as a pretty darn dependable system. But when you look at the BP situation, where there apparently wasn't a backup when primary shutoff valve or whatever, number one, didn't work, there wasn't a number two. So it's probably a fairly thin veneer of expectation and assumption that we make about corporate behaviors and corporate policies and corporate activities causes us to need to look a little bit deeper. And the little bit deeper is looking at what in our interview was called the triple bottom line. When you look at a company, you want to see good financial performance, because you expect, if you're investing in a company's stock or bonds or whatever, let's just say stock, that you're expecting that the price will go up. That's where you're going to make your money in investing. You buy it at this one price, and later on, you sell it at a higher price. We call that buy low, sell high. That's the ideal we all have. Unfortunately, most people don't come out quite as well as that for a variety of reasons. I'll touch on that a little bit later in the show, having to do with time horizons. The fourth area we talked about just last week was about clean water, the clean water crisis, the view from the Mississippi River. A lot of folks maybe think that with all the water we have up here, the bigger problem we have is that we've got too much water. And, you know, that's actually exactly the problem. Runoff, agricultural runoff, is the top reason why we have a Mississippi River that you can't drink from. Only 15% of the Mississippi River has areas where you can actually catch the fish and eat them without worrying about being contaminated by whatever might be in the river at that time. There's a lot of bacteria that forms from runoff that infects fish. It's probably not real good to swim in either. So we need to be thinking about, what do we do with runoff? Now, in the city, we have another problem. It's the runoff that happens when we get a downpour from hard surfaces like parking lots. The roofs of buildings, believe it or not, are a major issue for runoff. Drain pipes, they run down in a rush. They don't soak into the ground because they're on hard surfaces that we call impervious surfaces. So dealing with the runoff has been a major issue for cities for some time. It continues to be a major pollution problem, and it's one that needs some examination. We looked at it a bit. We'll talk about that. Now, this show is about investing, as I say, to help experienced investors make some better decisions, maybe be better informed about what's going on with some emerging opportunities. I would submit to you that the emerging opportunities that are the most compelling in the investment arena today, besides technology, which is always an emerging market, is in the area of clean technologies, what some people call green. I suggest that there are three ways to break up these areas, and the four that we're talking about here today fall into this category. One is responsible investing. The second is sustainable investing. And the third is green investing. And here's how I break it down. Responsible investing would be what I would consider to be the traditional socially responsible investing approach, which is things that you don't want to have in your investment portfolio. Among the leaders would be tobacco stocks, gambling stocks, alcohol stocks, or companies, I should say, not just their stocks, but alcohol companies, pornography companies, weapons of mass destruction, military operations. Now, all of these things have in common one thing. In the view of some, these things are harmful to society. They're not life-giving. They're actually life-taking in some cases. We would rather think about investing in companies that are doing something at least neutral, but certainly more positive than that. So that's the responsible side. The sustainable side means we're looking for companies, as we talked about a few minutes ago, that are being good corporate neighbors, that are taking care to see themselves in the context of the society in which they live and work, every one of these companies has people working there, and the people belong to communities. The people belong to groups of people. The people belong to neighborhoods. Having an awareness on the part of the company and then building policies that are good for society is part of sustainable investing. And we're looking for companies that are following a pattern of looking at their environmental, social, and governance, or ESG issues, if you've done any reading on socially responsible investing. And I hope you do. Look it up online. You'll see that phrase, ESG, as well as the word sustainable, pretty much everywhere you look. The third area is green investing. And green investing, I think, is a good way to think about things like the smart grid, things like clean water investing, things like solar power, which we'll be getting to in another few weeks, wind power, those kinds of biofuels that ethanol was an early example of an attempt to create an alternative fuel source to petroleum. So those are the three areas that we're focusing on here, the responsible investing, the sustainable investing, and the green investing. Now, in this next segment, we're going to break down those four shows a bit and talk about investing. And we're going to talk about the basics of investing after that and the recommendations for investing that I'll be able to give you after that. So please stay with it. This will be a show that's a little different in that we don't have an interview. I'm looking forward to having calls, 952-946-6205. This is Mike Mullins, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show, and today we're reviewing the past four shows, talking about the basics of investing, and then reviewing specific investment areas and opportunities. We'll be right back.
A great cup of coffee starts with a great bean. And at Dunn Brothers, next to the library in Eden Prairie, their beans are roasted fresh daily for the freshest cup of coffee you can get. Stop in, grab a cup, or take some beans home. This locally owned location is where AM 950 staff get their fresh roasted coffee. Dunn Brothers, just south of the Eden Prairie Mall on Prairie Center Drive, next to the library.
I'm Colleen Buckman.
And I'm Susan Shahada with Raising the Consciousness, Simple Solutions for Conscious Living. Join us every Sunday at 1 p.m. to discuss the mind-body-spirit connection, the artist's voice as a path to change, and the important spaces in our lives.
Raising the Consciousness, Sundays at 1 p.m. Brought to you by Sacred Rearrangement Shop and Healing Center in Uptown Minneapolis and Fairtrade Ohm, a conscious philanthropic production company. Online at raisingtheconsciousness.com.
There are just certain times in life when jewelry can help you save what you want without saying anything at all. Maybe it's a celebration, an anniversary, a milestone. Aurora Jewelers will help you say what you want to say and make the moment memorable. Aurora Jewelers will help you create or select that special jewelry that expresses personal identity and captures the moment. Aurora Jewelers. Express yourself. Express your love. Aurora Jewelers. Across from the Eden Prairie Mall, or visit online at AuroraJewelers.com.
Hi, Nancy Nelson here, inviting you to join me every Saturday, noon to 1 o'clock, for my show, Nancy Nelson Make a Difference. At my stores, Our Little Secret Designer Accessories at Wholesale Prices, we have an opportunity for you to make money without investing a thing. Have your own Our Little Secret Home Jewelry Party. The same amazing wholesale prices as in our stores. And at the end of the party, you have a percentage of everything sold. Go to our website, OurLittleSecret.tv, OurLittleSecret.tv, for details.
TwinCitiesRealEstateRadio.com, your number one resource for local real estate news and information that matters to you. At TwinCitiesRealEstateRadio.com, you can keep up to date with what's happening in your local marketplace, search for homes and shop for mortgages, and much more. The Duck Wall team of Edina Realty and Charles Daly of iLoan, your Twin Cities Real Estate Radio hosts, have built this site for you. TwinCitiesRealEstateRadio.com. Before you buy or sell a home, you need to be informed.
Okay, I know you've thought about it. Now, what are you going to do about greening up your lawn and garden? At Mother Earth Gardens in Minneapolis, we've been walking the environmental talk for 15 years, and that's the ungreenwashed truth. Want solutions? We research our products. Ask us about rain barrels, native plants, and non-toxic weed and feed. We're available and have real information. We sell American-made garden tools, unique gifts, and of course, an incredible selection of plants. We're fun, funky, and serious about alternative and sustainable gardening. Find us at MotherEarthGarden.com.
Thank you. Good morning again. Mike Mullins, host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I am a financial consultant with RBC Wealth Management. My office is in downtown Minneapolis. I live in Eden Prairie, and these days there's a lot of telecommuting going on in pretty much every industry, including mine. So I spend a lot of time visiting with folks here in Eden Prairie and surrounding areas, and not quite as much time as I used to, having to travel downtown, park in Ramp A, walk 11 or 12 blocks to get to the parking ramp, although walking is probably a pretty good thing to do for general health purposes anyway. I can certainly do that in my own neighborhood with my puppies, though. Well, we're going to review the last four shows for the point of helping you think about areas that you might want to focus on your investing. Let's say that one of these areas appeals to you more than another area. Let's say you think that the idea of the smart electric grid is a really great idea and you'd like to be involved in it. Well, you know, when you invest in something like the smart grid, the smart electric grid, the way you do that, we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, but you probably are going to end up in some kind of a fund rather than buying individual stocks. And part of the reason is that a lot of these new technologies are a portion of a company's business. It may be a small portion where they've kind of got a few bucks invested into it, or they've acquired a smaller company as to a way to kind of broaden out their portfolio of different kinds of businesses they're in. So a lot of times a fund is going to be a better choice to get exposure to these companies without buying the individual company stock. So, and then another thing you might be looking at would be maybe the clean water thing means a great deal to you, maybe more than the electric grid. That's fine. You can certainly invest in both of those things, but you can also kind of focus on that. I'll talk about a structure for how you think about that in the next segment. But right now I'm going to talk about the smart electric grid. You know, when we talk about clean technology, this is not a new idea. This has been around for certainly a good 10 years where it's been a big topic of conversation. And part of the reason it's become a bigger topic of conversation is that there's billions and billions of dollars being poured into the infrastructure of this country. And it's bridges and it's waterways, but it's also the electric grid. We depend on the electric grid the way we depend on the sun coming up in the morning. We just assume it's always going to be there. Same with water. You just turn on the tap, you get nice, fresh water. Now, we can nitpick about the purity, et cetera, and I know there are a lot of people that believe that what we get out of the tap in any city, including Eden Prairie, isn't pure. But I'll tell you what, compared to not being able to drink the water at all, getting sick when you drink water, waterborne diseases, as I'm sure you've heard, are pretty much the top reason why people get sick and die in countries is drinking impure water that's not fit for human consumption. So infrastructure is a big part of the clean technology revolution. Certainly alternative power sources such as wind and solar and biofuels are big clean tech areas. But also the electric grid is a huge area. And there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about a year ago, actually. And it goes like this. Federal, state, and local governments are about to pour tens of billions of dollars into the nation's infrastructure. The big question is, will we simply spend the money the way we've been doing for decades on more concrete and steel, or will we use it to make our roads, bridges, and other assets much more intelligent? Imagine highways that alert motorists of a traffic jam before it forms, or bridges that report when they're at risk of collapse, or an electric grid that fixes itself when blackouts hit. This vision, known as smart infrastructure, promises to make the nation more productive and competitive while helping the environment and saving lives, not to mention saving money by making what we've got work better and break down less often. Powering the smart infrastructure are the latest advances in sensors, wireless communications, and computing power, all tied together by the Internet. Not surprising, then, that the giants of the technology world, IBM, GE, and others, are leading the push for smarter infrastructure joined by a host of civic planners and researchers. The U.S. electricity grid is arguably one of the most important technological achievements of the 20th century, and yet it's pretty dumb. Power flows one way, but the utility gets back very little information about how it's being used. And the grid is poorly set up to handle power coming in from alternative energy sources, such as wind farms. New technologies could add much more intelligence to the system. The first step is installing advanced electric meters that send a steady stream of information back to the utility. They make it possible to read meters remotely and to determine more precisely the location of power outages, and they can give customers a much more detailed view of their electricity use. A smarter grid could also help manage the increased use of wind and solar power. Since these alternative energy sources can rise or fall abruptly, utility operators are forced to ramp up other power sources or reduce demand quickly to make up for the loss. The University of Hawaii, in partnership with local utilities and GE, recently launched a research project to test how various smart grid technologies handle the use of wind power. The island of Maui has one large wind farm. When the wind drops suddenly, as much as 15% of the island's total amount of power consumed can drop off the grid and has to be replaced by power from fossil fuel plants. GE will deploy rechargeable batteries that can store power when winds are high and can automatically send power back to the grid when the wind drops. Researchers will also test smart meters and appliances that can be controlled remotely by the utility to reduce demand if necessary. A smart grid would even be able to partly heal itself. Today, when a storm drops a tree branch on a power line, utilities typically have to rely on customer calls to locate the damage and assess the scope of the outage. CenterPoint is testing special sensors and switches that sit alongside power lines and detect sudden changes in the amount of current through the wire. The utility then can quickly route power around the break, restoring electricity within seconds to a large part of the blacked out area and limiting the number of households affected. Our interview was with Stuart Bush, who is the Director of Energy Research for RBC Capital Markets in Austin, Texas. And in our conversation, he said that the smart grid is intended to fix a problem. $1.5 billion is lost annually in outages. We talked about that earlier. The utilities have put billions of dollars to get more smart meters in homes so we can track the use and match supply and demand, as we were talking about in this last little article from the Wall Street Journal. There's a lot of investment capital flowing in, and as you can imagine, if we want to have the opportunity to have smart cars, electric cars, you're going to have a way to plug those bad boys in. That's going to take a lot of energy usage, and really, in order for us to be able to make this work on any kind of large scale, we need a much more efficient electric grid. Advantages for power producers like utilities. Step one is measuring, monitoring, and planning for electrical use. The demand for electrical energy. Number two, it allows for the use of power generated by alternative sources such as wind power and solar power, and the storage batteries is a critical part of that. It also allows for smart use of rechargeable batteries that would be in your car. So that's a very important part. Right now, these are fairly small, the batteries that we generally can get, as you know, that we use for cars and lawnmowers and what have you. But these large capacity batteries are being developed, have been developed, and being tested right now. The advantages for electricity users, such as homeowners and business owners, is there will actually be a software program you can go online as a homeowner, and you can see what your energy use is. You can plan out what your budget needs to be in that area. It reminds me of when we had $4.25 gas recently. It's amazing how many people stopped driving as much. They figured they just didn't really maybe need to go that extra trip. That's very important. You may see the same thing with electrical use if you see that the price of your power is higher in a given peak time. Well, listen, we're going to come back and talk about a couple more things here after the break. And so please stay with me, and we'll be right back as soon as I learn how to talk.
Tutoring isn't just for struggling students. Tutoring has benefits for even the most gifted students. At Wizard Academy, we motivate as much as we teach. Our goal is to help students gain confidence and learn new skills so they can excel at school, at home, and in the future. Call today to schedule a free evaluation to identify your students' strengths and challenges. Call the Wizard Academy in Eden Prairie at 952-224-2294. That's 952-224-2294. Wizard Academy, tutoring that works.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, phone toll free 1-800-549-5225. InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an informative brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get your free information by dialing 1-800-549-5225. That's 1-800-549-5225. Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call. So dial 1-800-549-5225. That's 1-800-549-5225.
The Mike Malloy Show.
The governors of state after state are ordering drastic, unimaginable budget cuts to social programs already barely holding on. This is the true legacy of the Bush-Clinton administrations. We're in a world of hurt because of our insistence on spending uncounted billions on wars of occupation and nothing here at home where it's so desperately needed. How long can this continue?
Mike Malloy, weekday evenings 8 to 11 on AM 950 KTNF. Arizona's new immigration law has sparked a national controversy. Some are calling for an economic boycott of Arizona, claiming that the legislation will allow police to racially profile suspected undocumented workers. Supporters claim the new legislation only enforces existing federal law and discourages employers from hiring undocumented workers. This week on Access Minnesota, we'll discuss the complex and emotionally charged immigration reform battle.
Sunday mornings at 7:30 on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Kathy Hauser, the host of Radio Cafe. Every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on AM 950 KTNF, the voice of Minnesota. It's like having a good conversation in your locally owned independent coffee shop. Speaking of which, Radio Cafe is sponsored by Amore Coffee, 917 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, and now at 879 Smith Avenue in West St. Paul. Come check out our new store. That's Radio Cafe, every Saturday here at 2 p.m. Thanks for listening.
AM 950 weather looking good today and brought to you by Home Customizers. A sunny afternoon in store. We'll have a high around 74. Tonight some clouds, low 51. Tomorrow cloudy but nice with a high of 70. Slight chance of showers on Monday. Monday's high in the upper 60s. For window and door replacements, look no further than Home Customizers to help you get the job done right. At HomeCustomizers.com, serving the Twin Cities for over 30 years.
The Socially Responsible Investing Show is back on the air. I want to thank our sponsors, Dunn Brothers Coffee over by the library in Eden Prairie, right off of Prairie Center Drive. Sharon and Ken have become good friends, and we really enjoy their coffee. I make a practice of buying fresh beans every weekend and grind my own at home. Got into that habit a while ago. Sure like the flavor of that. Those beans, you know, the fresh roasted beans are very, very important. You get a couple weeks out from roasting, I've read, and things get stale pretty quick. Even things that you have sealed in a jar or in the fridge, they just kind of lose their vitality, sort of like fresh vegetables only have a certain amount of time before they start to become undesirable, shall we say. And I also want to thank Claude Chenard, the owner of Wizard Academy, tutoring in math and English. With the ACTs coming up fairly soon for a lot of folks, they are doing tutoring over there. They have programs that are specially designed to help students prepare for and master the ACT. And you just have been hearing some jazz music from Laura Caviani. Very kind of her to allow us to use her music. And I find that jazz matches these topics, these socially responsible, sustainable investing topics pretty well because, you know, these are thoughtful topics. These are things that take some care and consideration. They're not quick fixes. The smart grid isn't something that's going to be in place, you know, this fall. It's going to take a while. There's a lot of technology that's being involved. Glenn, my engineer, and I were just talking about the batteries for cars and how that's going to evolve and how quiet they are and how we may find ourselves in a situation where you can't hear that there's a car around you, and maybe the sensors that some of the higher end cars have right now will be built in, and we'll just assume those ways to protect ourselves when we're driving sensors. It's very interesting. You know, companies that think in those terms about safety and think about helping people develop a better lifestyle. And better by better, I don't mean more plush, but better by the way that they're safer. Clean drinking water is a way. Having outages be less of a problem, or hopefully not a problem in the future, is another way. The companies that tend to think that way are what we call sustainable companies. And we interviewed David Rodborn, who is the vice president for the Center for Ethical Business Cultures, a couple of weeks ago. And this is an organization that's actually been around for decades. It's connected since 1978. In fact, it was established by some Minnesota businesses here in town, household names that we know around town that were involved in establishing the Center for Ethical Business Cultures. And they see their task as helping an organization or a company align around core values so that their business organization, the way they approach the marketplace, the kinds of products they make and sell, the kinds of services they provide, are intended to be focused on their core values. And core values, you would presume, would be positive values, sustainable values. And then the organization has a number of members, Center for Ethical Business Cultures, and the members are involved with the center to help keep them on track with their values as the company grows. Now, companies that we want to look at for investment that would be involved, let's say, in a mutual fund or as an individual company where you might buy the stock, we always look at their bottom line. And the bottom line, that phrase means to look at their financial results. How are they doing? Are they making money? Are they about to make money? Do they have a new process or patent or manufacturer that they're rolling out that'll make their stock price go up? Because ultimately, if you buy their stock at $20, you'd sure like to have it be worth $50 at some point in the future. And that usually only happens if the company, A, stays in business, and B, is profitable. Now, there's a couple of other criteria, however, that we in the socially responsible investing line of thinking believe should be involved. One is to look at their environmental record, and the other is to look at their social record. So their financials, their environmental, and their social record is what we described on the show as the triple bottom line. If you listen to the show, I talked about the double bottom line. I was already presuming the financial, and I was meaning adding the environmental and the social, but he says the phrase is actually triple bottom line. And I asked him, what is sustainable? What does the word sustainability mean? And he referred to a 1987 UN commission that describes sustainability as progress that meets the need of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And the applications in that area is going to be these days how much water they use in their production process. Some kinds of manufacturing are so water intensive that it's very, very important that the company and the shareholders know what happens to that water. Is it being recycled? Can it be reused? If it's going to be, then you probably have to be thinking about what kind of chemicals you're injecting into the water in your manufacturing process. You can see the logic here. The logic is a company may rethink its manufacturing process in order to better conserve a commodity such as water, for which there's no replacement. Think about it. You can replace petroleum with natural gas and maybe biofuels, but what do you replace water with? No, not beer. Beer's in water. You can't think that you're going to replace it with something else because it's the basic building block for everything, obviously, that we drink. All right. When we look for companies that are sustainable companies that are positive, as I mentioned earlier, the responsible investing is don't invest in things, companies that are involved in, as I mentioned, gambling and tobacco and alcohol and pornography and some other things. The sustainable side of investing has to do with looking for these companies that are being good neighbors, that are working hard to find ways to be positive in their environment. That was a good interview. I really enjoyed that. Now I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, I'm going to talk about how does a person invest in sustainability. It seems amorphous, like how do I get a grip on this? Well, there are actually indexes. We'll define indexes pretty soon that measure these things, and they collect companies that have met these kinds of criteria, and they're available to be invested in through indexes, and we'll touch on those indexes in a couple of minutes. We also talked to Dean Deitz about designing your future and investment planning, and this is another one that's a little subjective feeling. You might think in the next couple of minutes that you're listening to, you know, a religious radio show, because we're going to be talking about values. You've heard the old saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. To visualize that each one of us is on a road going somewhere is hard sometimes. When someone's personal situation is unstable due to health, relationship problems, issues with family members, a person may be unemployed in a family, making it almost impossible to do anything other than just hunker down and ride out the winter. Minnesotans are good at that, of course. A sense of dread or doom can creep into one's perceptions of their future, even if you're not clinically depressed, based perhaps on recent experience, disappointments, losses in personal and financial areas. And sometimes we wonder, what's this life all about, and how can we go forward, not backward? And some say, well, that's just pop psychology. What does Mullins know about these things? Well, I've been in business 25 years, and I have encountered a whole lot of different situations and people, initially when they became clients or not, but certainly as life evolved for some people that have been clients with me for a very, very long time. I've seen them go through just about everything with health, death, relationship crashes, you name it. People do find the strength and courage to go on, and you know it's true. Just look at people, you know, that are worse off than you. If you ask somebody what their ideal future is, oftentimes the person says, well, I want to have plenty of money so I can relax and not be afraid that I'm going to run out of money before I pass on. Look, money is a means to an end. It's the gasoline for the car engine. It's the water in the swimming pool. Money needs to be focused on your hopes about the future. I really believe that. There are, we'd like to suggest, 8 primary areas of hope for your future where your future wealth, large or small, can be the gas in your car to carry you where you want to go. The 8 areas we talk about in our program, Your Future by Design, are family, health, home, lifestyle, work, legacy, and mind and spirit. What we do in our process of helping people with their thinking about their values and goals for the future and how they'd like to, you know, frankly, save for these areas, is to ask people to focus on, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 out of those 8 that seem to be the most important for you as you think about your future. This is a great way for anybody that's trying to think about planning to start with your foot on the right path, which is what is important to you. What is most important to you? What are your obligations likely to be? How would you like to live your future life? Very important. It's called Your Future by Design. We have materials to go with this. I would be very happy to make them available to anybody that would like to have them. We'll talk about that again in a few minutes as well. All right. Now we want to talk about clean water just a little bit. Water availability has been an issue in the Twin Cities, except briefly in the late 1980s when there was a pretty bad drought. You maybe remember that. But contamination and pollution raise a lot of concerns. You know, Minneapolis takes all of its water out of the Mississippi River. St. Paul does too, except they have some deep wells over there. Locals, meanwhile, consume at rates well below the national average, which is good. Our water is being experienced as being more sustainable than some other cities that have less resources. But the Big Muddy could be a lot cleaner. Farm runoff and industrial pollution contaminate the river to below drinking standards. You can't just take a cup down to the river, as we all know, and scoop it out and drink it down. You probably will get sick. Water supplies are being cleansed through sand filtration systems and a new $60 million ultra-filtration plant to ensure what comes out of taps meet federal water quality requirements. This is a very important aspect. The Metropolitan Planning Commission is addressing the need to upgrade wastewater treatment as well, with a 10-year, $1.4 billion initiative and program to encourage higher density development. Attention focuses on controlling stormwater and limiting impacts from non-point source pollution. Non-point source pollution. Now, that's an interesting phrase. What in the world does that mean? Well, what that means is simply when it rains, The water comes out of the sky. It falls to the earth. Thank you very much, Dr. Mullins, for that description. And if it hits the ground, and the ground is earthen, and there's grass and trees and woodlands and prairies and such, the water tends to soak in, and it goes down into the water table, which, due to gravity, gradually works its way to a pond, a lake, a river, perhaps a reservoir. But the point is that it gets there fairly slowly and in an orderly way. And if there were any pollutants in the rain that came down due to chemicals in the air, what have you, those tend to get taken up in the soil, and the soil breaks down most of those things. And that's a pretty important aspect. What we have in the cities is we have a lot of surfaces that are called impervious surfaces. They're hard. The water doesn't soak in. It runs off, and it carries with it whatever junk was on the sidewalk, street, driveway, pavement, parking lot, into the water source without being absorbed into the earth. This is a big problem. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to describe the rest of this problem, and then I'm going to talk about how we can invest in these four areas. Right, so I will be right back. Hi, Mike Mullins here. Trying to match your values, the things you believe in, with your investment dollars can be really tough, especially with all this volatility. Are you tired of having no control over what's in your mutual fund? Do you wish you could feel great about how your money's being invested? It can be tough to know what to do. That's why I have developed the RSG Wealth Building Model, based on sustainable and responsible investment vehicles. RSG stands for Responsible, Sustainable, and Green, and is your pathway to discovering strong performing investments from many different investment managers. You can align your values with your money. With my guidance, you select which approaches, styles, and investing themes match your goals, your time horizon, your risk profile, using responsible, sustainable, and green investment vehicles whenever and wherever possible. Call me at 612-371-7859 for an appointment or to ask questions. You may also send me an email at michael.w.mullins@rbc.com. You can align your values with your money and improve your world one ethical, responsible choice at a time. Call me at 612-371-7859. That's 612-371-7859.
Hard-hitting interviews, news-making guests, and incisive analysis. It's on Meet the Press this Sunday. We invite you to tune in this week for the very best in political debate. Exclusive interviews with the world's newsmakers and roundtable discussions with the leaders in the fields of journalism, politics, and history. If it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press. Sunday nights from 5 to 6 on AM 950, the voice of Minnesota.
If you want a more empowered sex life, you'll find the tools and resources at The Smitten Kitten, the Twin Cities award-winning sex toy and supply shop. Visit smittenkittenonline.com to shop from home and learn about our world-class educational workshops and events. The Smitten Kitten is open to everyone, welcoming new customers daily in Uptown, south of Lake Street on Lindale. Open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, Sundays, noon to 7. The Smitten Kitten, the world's leader in environmentally friendly, body-safe sex toys and supplies.
My name's Matt, and I'm a Mulberry's client because I hate running errands. I used to leave work early and miss meetings picking up my dry cleaning, but not anymore. Mulberry's is open 7 days a week until 9 on weekdays, plus a drive-thru and a 24-hour drop box, and they deliver for free. Now my dry cleaning revolves around my schedule.
Enjoy 20% off your first order at our locations in St. Louis Park or Minneapolis. Mulberry's Garment Care. Welcome to Dry Cleaning Bliss.
There's no need to completely remodel the tile in your kitchen, patio, bathroom, or any room. Let Dick, the Grout Doctor, help you renew your existing tile grout to its natural beauty. The Grout Doctor can seal your grout or recolor it to better match your tile or natural stone. Let the professionals do the dirty work so you don't have to. We re-grout, clean, repair, seal, or recolor any tile grout. Contact Dick at 651-261-3626. That's 651-261-3626.
The Dakota tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community in Prior Lake, Minnesota, with charitable giving of more than $132 million over the last 11 years. In 2008, 15 Native American tribes each received $1 million grants from the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community. Among the recipients were two Minnesotan Chippewa tribes, the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa and the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa. The Boys Fort Band of Chippewa was awarded a $1 million grant for economic development near their Vermilion Lake Reservation. And the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa received a $1 million grant to fund a Head Start daycare facility, which will open in early summer 2009. This funding will allow many more children the opportunity to participate in these valuable early childhood opportunities. The tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community. For more information, go to ShakopeeDakota.org.
It's Mike Mullins, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show, or to say it slower, the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show. Got carried away there. Yes, the last thing we were talking about, at least that I was talking about, had to do with runoff, urban runoff. It sounds like one of those deals like, yawn, why do I care? Well, the reason you care is because it costs a lot of money. Millions and millions and millions of dollars to clean this water that we drink and we bathe in. And we really believe that in order to keep our population healthy, we need to make sure that we keep right on top of this. Now, when we have runoff that comes off of sidewalks, that comes off of roofs, that comes off of parking lots around big box retailers, that water goes right into a storm sewer drain. It goes in a big tube, in a big rush, to some kind of a holding pond somewhere, or directly into the Mississippi River or the Minnesota River or the St. Croix River. That water is not being treated before it gets to those water sources. It can't be treated before it gets to those water sources. How would you capture that water that's coming from a thunderstorm or a downpour, a cloudburst, and have it cleansed before it goes into the water source? It's just impossible. That's not going to happen. So what do we do to try to control the flow of runoff into our water streams and lakes and rivers? Well, what we need to do is we need to have more green areas in our urban areas. And you'll see as new developments get made, a lot of times rather than just having a big storm drain on a flat surface, you'll see alongside a parking lot what they call a swale. It's sort of a depression in the ground, and it's intended to be the place where a lot of the water runs off into, and then it's allowed to soak into the ground so the ground can do its job, which is to cleanse the impurities from that water so that when the water drains through natural seepage and creeks and streams into the runoff, into the rivers, lakes, and such, it's been cleansed, and it's in pretty good shape, and then it's a lot healthier for all of us. It's very important to do that. So that's something we want to talk about. All right, so how do you invest in these things? How do you invest in something like runoff prevention or the smart grid? Let's talk about investing for a minute here. This last segment, we're going to touch on investing really quickly. Investing is one of three areas in anybody's finance, and I've talked about the bullseye principle. The bullseye is in the center of the bullseye is your lifestyle. It's what it costs you to live. It's where your income goes. It's where you pay your bills from. It's where your lifestyle comes from. The next area is your cash and your reserves. You need to have enough cash and reserves to protect against things like being underemployed or unemployed. And one out of five Americans right now know what I'm talking about. We used to say keep 3 to 6 months in savings. However, this recent recession has led to the average unemployment time for these millions of unemployed people is closer to 8 months. Tough spot to be in. Make sure you've got some cash and reserves. Don't put any stocks in there. This is where you want to be able to get at that money in a hurry and inexpensively or at no cost to you, so that you have, if you have a problem with your lifestyle expenses, a disruption in your cash flow, or sudden expenses that aren't in your budget, that you'll have a place to go for it without selling investments. So that leads me to the third area, which is investing. Investing by its nature is not saving, it's investing. It's putting money into something with the expectation that over a reasonable period of time, it'll grow in value and you can take the money out for future use. We like to think 5 years or longer is an appropriate time to think about money that you would put into investing. And investing, a lot of people think of as the stock market, and that's appropriate. In the last 20 years, we have had a growing percentage of American workers putting more and more money into the stock market. A lot of it comes from their investments in their 401k and their 403B IRAs and that kind of thing. And that's all good. We need to be saving for the future. But let's not confuse saving to support your lifestyle with investing for future use. Now, a lot of people invest in stocks and bonds either through buying individual issues or by buying them in a fund. A stock is a security that's issued by a company that's sold to the public, and that security represents a one-share ownership by the buyer of the stock in that company. They're called shareholders. Every year, companies have an annual shareholder meeting where as many people that want to come to the shareholder meeting have a chance to observe the processes of the reports from the company and also to bring motions and to talk about things that they think ought to happen in the future. Stocks can be bought as individual issues. As you well know, you could go out and buy a share of any company that you can think of here in the Twin Cities that's publicly traded. That means that the shares are owned by the public. And this is where sustainable investing gets to be very important. In order to be able to buy these stocks, you want to have a way to screen for these three areas, the financials, the environmental, and the social. Frankly, this is tough to do by yourself. I don't want to do it. I think what I would rather do is go to an investment company that's already using those kinds of criteria, that are already thinking about looking for those kind of good corporate citizens, and let them select the stocks and let them decide which ones need to be added when they need to add them. And then they can look at it as an investment where they're really looking at companies that are acting in a sustainable way for the good of society. Now, indexes have been created a while ago, and the biggest index fund out there is the S&P 500, as you know. Sorry, I had to reach for my folder here. An index is a statistical measure of a change in an economy or a securities market. In the case of financial markets, an index is essentially an imaginary portfolio of securities representing a particular market or a portion of it. So indexes, there are many socially responsible indexes out there right now. They are called sustainability indexes. The Dow Jones Sustainability Index, you can find on my website. If you go to the tab that says Responsible Investing, you'll find a link. You can click on that and learn more about that particular sustainability index. I would like to talk to you about the RSG Wealth Building Portfolio theory that I'm working with. Please call me at 612-371-7859. My website is michaelwmullins.com. That's michaelwmullins.com. Please come visit me. My shows are podcast on the tab that says Mike is Live on AM 950. You can listen to past shows, and I hope you do. I will talk to you next week. Thanks for your time today. Bye-bye.
Socially responsible investing is supported by Calvert Investments, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Online at calvert.com.